All right, guys, bottom half hour here on Brandon's World. Before I bring an end to Orlando, let me do a couple live reads for you. So, did you know that Bucksville Radio sells station merch? Well, we do. We have several different types of t-shirts, stickers, pins, record bowls, and more. Check out our merchandise via our website, BucksvilleRadio.com. You can find the shop link in the top corner of our site. Stay tuned and show everyone you are nuts for BSR by buying all your favorite station merch. Also, let's see. Hey, listeners, do you need a DJ? Well, our mobile DJ crew is available to pull up locally and spin any requested genre to set the vibe you need for any event. Book one of our very affordable professional DJs today by emailing us at bsrmobiledjs@gmail.com. And again, that's bsrmobiledjs@gmail.com. BSR is here for you. Quick note, that open comedy mic session was very good. I thought it was funny. I didn't stay for the whole thing, but the acts we had were pretty good. All right, with that being said, I'm bringing in the host of the best, the mic, Enzo Orlando. Enzo, how are you?
Oh, dude, I am incredibly excellent. I'm having one of the best weeks of my life in 2019 so far. I mean, it's fake Paddy's Day and Ken. Everyone's out there having a good time. We're doing this special show for you, the fans, and any listener in Kent, Ohio. I mean, the Browns moves, love them. I absolutely love the moves they made.
I cannot wait to talk about this. So, did you get a chance to read my article that I mentioned?
On the Odell trade?
Yeah.
I read a little bit of it, didn't get to read the whole thing, but it was pretty good and nice, simply detailed on, you don't need the whole, like, write like a whole, like, 20-paragraph story. No, it was pretty good, simple, decent. You did a good job, man. You always do a good job. I might be doing an article on March Madness pretty soon. But here's the thing. When you say the NFL free agency is like March Madness, I can totally agree on you this, because this is just as exciting as watching those college basketball games.
See, to me, it's even more exciting, because to me, like, this is how I think of it. And again, no disrespect to Ken, no disrespect to any college, but it's college. It's not professional. I've always am under the belief college sports, it means more to the university than anything. We're professionally, it means more to you, it means more to the city. So, that's why I've always believed, I've called the NFL the real March Madness, because it matters to me more. I'm so excited, man. You got all these moves the Browns made. Odell Beckham, Olivier Vernon, Sheldon Richardson, Demetrius Harris, and Eric Kush. They lost Zeitler, Peppers, Tyrod Taylor to L.A., Jamie Collins, who gave no effort. I cannot understand why people were thanking Jamie Collins. That guy did not deserve a thank you.
Oh, he didn't do much as a linebacker for the Cleveland Browns. I'm pretty sure Dorsey is going to try to get one in the NFL draft for sure with our second-round pick we got. I mean, just the move to get Odell, man, that is just the biggest game-changer I ever seen the Browns made. It was the biggest trade in Cleveland Browns history since returning in 1999.
Let me tell you, my original reaction, because you know how I originally thought about the idea. I didn't love it because I thought it would take a lot. So my first thought was, oh, God, did we give up? You know, how much do we give up? You know, did we give up Ogba first, a second, a third? How much? Then I was like, wait, we only had to give up Peppers, a first and a third? Are you kidding me? That's a great trade. Like, that's a trade you do. I'll say this. If it was the original proposed trade, the first and second and Ogba, I don't know. I feel like I'd still be hesitant, because my only issue, and I've said this multiple times throughout the show, the locker room. And I think John Dorsey's forte now is basically anybody with a locker room issue, come over to me. Antonio Callaway, Kareem Hunt, Odell Beckham, Sheldon Richardson, even Baker Mayfield to some extent had some off-the-field, you know, drama going into the draft. Every single person on this Browns roster almost has some type of issue that John Dorsey has brought in. And is Freddie Kitchens going to be able to control this
situation? I mean, that's the only issue that I have. When we first hired Freddie Kitchens, I'm like, all right, we got the same similar roster and stuff. We didn't make any of those big free agency and trade moves. But now that we have Odell, I kind of still wish we had Greg Williams as head coach right now. I know you were really emphasizing Williams to be our head coach, but it is what it is. We could see what Freddie does. I mean, I think on paper this team looks like they're the third best team in the AFC. They're definitely the best team in the AFC North. I wouldn't count out Pittsburgh just yet. I would not count Pittsburgh. I would count out the Ravens and especially the Bengals. The Bengals are so garbage. They're worse than the Browns were, I know, a couple years ago. But they're going to be the Browns of the AFC North, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay, so let's do this. So let's run through. I'm going to pull it up real quick, and I'm going to kind of let you talk here for a minute. While I pull up the schedule for next year, we're going to run through what we think the Browns record is going to be. Let's just talk about, you know, and I'll let you kind of talk about this first. So Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Antonio Callaway, David Njoku, you got all these weapons. They are, to me, building a Kansas City-type offense.
Oh, that's what John Dorsey did when he was with the Chiefs. That's what he was building, and he's doing the same thing with the Cleveland Browns as well. I'm just looking at this roster. I'm like, I can't believe this is my football team, the Cleveland Browns. Baker Mayfield, that quarterback, he was the best rookie quarterback in that draft class last year. You got Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson for the beginning of season, and then, you know, Kareem Hunt, he's on an eighth-game suspension. I thought that was a good amount for what he did. He's really felt bad for what he did, what he said yesterday on social media. And then wide receivers, man, we got too many weapons. Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Antonio Callaway. I think Rashard Higgins, he might come back for sure. I don't know yet. And then at tight end, David Njoku and Demetri Harris. Great moves by John Dorsey to get Demetri Harris from the Chiefs. I mean, our offense looks steady. And, hey, you got remember, what makes a championship team? You got to have a good defense. I mean, hey, we got Demarius Randle still at safety. Who else? We got Olivier Vernon. That was a big pickup for the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. Miles Garrett, Sheldon Richardson, Larry Ogunjobi, who he's been a beast as well on defense. Joe Schwarber at linebacker, Christian Kritsky as well. I mean, just get one or two more guys on defense. Don't forget about Denzel Ward as well. This team is going to be dangerous all season, just like how Baker Mayfield wakes up. They're no longer a joke, man. When you come into the dog pound, First Energy Stadium, you need to be afraid when you come in there if you're not one of the top teams in the league. You're going to get something special, and it's not going to be good for the other opposing team at all. It's just amazing how good this team is. I want football season to start more than baseball season. Let me tell you that. That is something different from me, but I'd rather want football season to come. I want training camp. It is just going to be amazing. It's just something great for our city as well, being a football town, and we're finally going to have a good team to watch, and hopefully we'll make the playoffs for sure. I think we will, definitely. It just seems like what the Browns have done in, like, the biggest turnaround ever in NFL history. I mean, 0-16 2 years ago, and now look at us. We're Super Bowl contenders. Like, we're 14-1 odds to make it.
And how about this? In the NFL's 100th season, is this the perfect script? Like, in the NFL's 100th season, I am not going to get ahead of myself because I do think New England's the top team in the AFC.
New England's not going anywhere.
But can you imagine? Let's say somehow somebody pulls off an upset like the 2010 Jets and New England gets eliminated early. Can you imagine in the 100th season in the NFL, the Browns win the Super Bowl? Is that not the perfect script? Is it almost set up to be rigged? Like, seriously, that sounds to me like a fantasy.
I mean, it kind of does. Like, as much as I want the Browns to win the Super Bowl, I don't think it'll happen this year. I think it will definitely happen maybe next year. I don't even know if we'll make it this year. I think we can make it to the AFC Championship and play either the Chiefs or the Patriots.
No,
those are the only two teams I think we'll play.
Did you hear about Tyreek Hill?
I heard about Tyreek Hill. I recently saw that. I mean, I can't believe the Chiefs have another player that had to do some domestic stupid thing. I mean, really, you got to find better players than that. I mean, first it was Kareem Hunt. Now it's Tyreek Hill. You lost another star.
But
I mean,
remember, those two were both drafted by
John Dorsey. And I've been seeing stuff on Twitter like, John Dorsey, yo, he's going right to the Chiefs front office. Like, hey, can I get Tyreek Hill, man? That'll be like a third great wide receiver.
I said this. And again, obviously, if Tyreek Hill gets charged, he's pretty much done and out of football forever. If the Chiefs release him, I would not be surprised if literally 1 minute later you see he has signed with the Cleveland Browns. Because could you imagine? Just, I mean, this is setting up. If Kansas City is dumb enough to release Tyreek Hill, oh my God, he will be a Brown within the first 5 minutes.
I mean, Dorsey would be like, hey, buddy boy, come on. I know what you did. You know what? You play for the Browns, man. We got your old buddy Kareem Hunt on the team.
I don't understand. And you're going to laugh at this. I don't understand a guy that talks like that. Don't understand how a guy who dresses to me like a clown is able to reel in all these guys. How?
I don't think Dorsey really dressed like a clown. I love how he just wears the Browns crew neck and the
to me, it looks
L-pack.
Completely unprofessional.
I mean, it does look unprofessional, but hey, that's his look, man. And I think the players love it as well, especially Baker. He imitated Dorsey during training camp. And, you know, I remember I met John Dorsey at a Kent football game.
Yep.
We were calling the Toledo-Kent game, and Don Dorsey was in the elevator right next to us. I took a selfie with him.
Wearing that same sweatshirt.
I think he has, like, about, like, 100 pairs of those. And this, I love what this guy's doing. I mean, hopefully the next time I see him, hopefully he remembers my face. I mean, because, dude, he is a blessing to this franchise to have him as our general manager and just building this team up. After when he came in, this team was like literally in the basement.
All right, so let's run through the schedule. Let's just say when are we?
I don't think we have the dates yet for the schedule. We just know the teams.
It's just the opponents.
The opponents. All right.
So at Baltimore, I would say win.
I think Baltimore, we might sweep them. Okay. You might have got Earl Thomas in replacement for Terrell Suggs. I don't see Baltimore doing much on offense.
I think
our defense will definitely dominate Baltimore's.
So Cincinnati, I think we sweep.
Oh, for sure. The Bengals are they're in the basement.
So there's four wins right there. Then Pittsburgh, I think we split. I think we beat them at home. I think we lose there.
I think we will split. It'll be a great renaissance of the Browns-Steelers rivalry, because it hasn't really been a rivalry in the past 20 years. It's been the Steelers getting two easy wins every season and making it to the playoffs.
So there's 5-1 right there. All right, now let's run through the AFC East. They are hosting Buffalo.
I think that might be a win. Definitely a great matchup between Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen. Two of the top two quarterbacks of that draft class going up against each other. I mean, they got Frank Gore, but I don't really see the Bills competing with us. I think I might be going to that game because I got a friend who's a Bills fan here, and I want to take him to that game.
Are you going to be able to get tickets?
I probably will. I mean, my dad's got season tickets, so
okay.
I just need two tickets.
Right.
That'll be a fun game.
Okay, so there's that. So we have them right there at 6-1. I think they beat Miami, so I think that's 7 wins right there.
Yeah.
Then they're at the Jets. Now, Greg Williams, their defensive coordinator. Now, I can't wait till they're on Hard Knocks next year and Greg Williams is yelling at Sam Darnold. And Sam Darnold
The Jets are on Hard Knocks?
Next year they will be. I guarantee you they will be next year.
I might just watch it just to see Greg Williams yell at his defense. Like, remember when he was last year? Dude, he's got energy in himself. That's what I loved about Williams. Man, this guy's got so much energy. I think hopefully Freddie can bring something like that to this team as well, because you see, these players are all pumped up and ready.
When I cut your bleeping on film, you look at effort first.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill him at halftime. Kill him at halftime. Young guys, get in there. This ain't no college football anymore. Give me Elijah Durant. I need Elijah Durant. It's the third down. Lost my voice. Defense.
Yeah. When Hugh was on Hard Knocks, he might have just did stuff just because he's on camera and act like he knew what he was doing. This guy is a complete idiot when it comes to coaching
a
football
team.
He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know the difference between putting in your young quarterback or just letting your team get crushed. He literally looked clueless every game.
Clueless Hugh. You know, my friend has a great story on Hugh. He was at the Jets game a couple years ago with DeShone Kizer.
Oh, yeah.
He said he came running down the sideline. He iced his own kicker.
Like, literally iced him?
Yeah. What an idiot.
He is an idiot.
Okay, so the Jets, to me, though, that's hard because I think they're a little bit improved. Greg Williams is their defensive coordinator. I'm just going to say L.
I'm not saying L.
At the Jets?
we were able to beat them last year at our stadium, so I think it'll be a close matchup. That might be a primetime game as well. It could be. It's in New York. New York's, you know, the media capital of the world. I mean, hey, I mean, the Giants, I don't think they'll get much primetime coverage as they did last year.
The Giants shouldn't get any.
No, they should. I think a Browns Jet might be like a Monday or Sunday night
Browns
game.
Will get, I would say, 4, 5, or 6. They can get anywhere between 4 or 6. I think New England, they'll get it. I think the Rams, they'll get it. I think Pittsburgh, they'll get it. The Jets, they may get, Seattle, maybe.
Rams. The Rams, that will be a tough game.
Tennessee.
I can see us beating Tennessee.
At San Francisco. I think San Francisco is one of the most improved teams in the league. Did you see what they've done?
I really haven't caught up on the 49ers.
The 49ers have done a lot. Let me tell you then who they... Let me see. Is it the right side of the page? Where are we? All right, San Francisco. They've got Tevin Coleman, Dee Ford, Jordan Matthews, Jason Verrett, and Quan Alexander, and they didn't lose anybody.
And that's good for the Niners. I mean, they got Jimmy Garoppolo back. He should be healthy.
I think right now with the free agency moves they made, on paper, they're better than Seattle. They really could compete for
a spot. They'll more than likely be a wild card team in the NFC West. I mean, because you still got the Rams and the genius of Sean McVay as well. So
okay, here is Sean McVay a genius? Yeah, I'm going to catch you there. I think Sean McVay and Jared Goff got exposed. I've been making this argument since the Super Bowl. If you cannot go to your first read, if Sean McVay is telling Jared Goff where to go with the ball, Jared Goff's in his third year, that is such a problem. I'm sorry, it is. If Baker Mayfield was at that point in his third year and he had Freddie Kitchens in his ear telling him where to go with the ball and he couldn't know where to go with the ball after the 15-second play clock is up, that's a huge problem.
Definitely it is, but I just think in that Super Bowl, he just got outcoached by the greatest coach in NFL history,
but
Bill Belichick.
But he didn't even look prepared. And yet, my coach, who everybody says is overrated, outdueled Bill Belichick 41-33 the previous year.
That is true. I mean, speaking of your Eagles, man, you brought back one of my favorite Eagles players, DeSean Jackson. That dude was epic. I know he made some dumb things when he was the Eagles, like dropping the ball, like with a yard short of the end zone.
No, he did some stuff when Chip Kelly was there, and that's why
Chip Kelly was a moron.
Well, Chip Kelly started this rumor that like he was in a gang, and then he stopped going to practice. I read this story the other day. He literally stopped going to practice. I didn't know this. He stopped going to practice because he just couldn't stand Chip Kelly anymore.
Oh, I can totally agree. I don't think Chip Kelly was perfect for the NFL at all. I think college is his thing. Where's he at now?
He's struggling at UCLA.
I think his prime was just when he was at Oregon, for sure. I mean, when he was with the Eagles, I don't think many Philly fans really liked him.
I was the biggest. I'll tell you a story. When we got him, I was in eighth grade, and I was in gym class. Right, my gym teacher pulled me to the side at the end of class and told me we got Chip Kelly. I flat out ran down the hall to my next class without even stopping, screaming, "We got Chip Kelly." I was all in on Chip Kelly. I was all in on Chip Kelly all 3 years. I thought he was going to revolutionize the NFL, and I was wrong. And that's okay, because in sports, that's what we do. We say opinions.
There's a lot of opinions.
But see, that's what I've been trying to make the point to the people, is I think one of the great things Colin Cowherd does is where Colin was right and where Colin was wrong. I was thinking about even stealing that segment, to be honest, because there's been a lot of stuff that I've been right on. There's a lot of stuff I've been wrong on. But when I'm wrong, I'm glad I'm wrong. That's the difference in sports.
That is true. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Earlier on my show this semester, I was talking about, man, the Browns should really go after Odell Beckham Jr. for sure. And guess what? They did. And I'm surprised I was actually right. I didn't think the Browns would actually go for it. But I'm glad they did, man. I mean, that's the one Browns jersey I kind of want right now is Odell Beckham Jr. I'm going to wait until the new uniforms have come out to get Baker Mayfield, because it will look like the old ones they had back in last time they wore them was 2014. But definitely, for sure, these moves are like game changer. I mean, the Eagles, I think they'll be competing with the Cowboys for the NFC East title.
I think my team is far and away right now better than Dallas.
I think they will be better than Dallas this year. They had a Super Bowl hangover. Even though, yeah, you guys made it to the divisional round, I think you'll be better than it is
and
than
I
you were
will
last
say this.
Year.
Last year, that Week 14 game against Dallas, the one where Joe Douglas did the ball in the air and Amari Cooper caught it for a touchdown, that game, that was the last game Wentz played, and Wentz didn't look right the whole game. That game literally almost killed me, okay? As a fan, I told this where I fell out of my chair and laid on the floor for 10 minutes after that game. I couldn't believe what I saw, and I still believe that after that game, the Eagles were better than the Cowboys. Cowboys just made more plays than us. We were hurt last year, you know, and I love these additions, man. I love the fact that we got Malik Jackson. I think LJ Ford is an underrated signing from Pittsburgh. Steelers fans were mad we got him. He was projected to start for Pittsburgh this year at middle linebacker. He was projected to be their Ryan Shazier replacement. We got him. You know, Jordan Hicks' loss is kind of big, but Hicks was always hurt. You know, Jordan Matthews, see a bye. Golden Tate, see a bye. Go get 4 years, $50 million from the low-life Giants. Michael Bennett, to me, you move on. He's older. You can get younger in the draft. And then Malik Jackson's replacing Timmy Jernigan. I don't see, really, I think you can make an argument that the middle linebacker is the hole on the Eagles team. Everybody in Philadelphia, I'll tell you this, everybody in Philadelphia is flipping out. Why didn't Howie Roseman get a running back yet? We need a running back. We need Le'Veon Bell. We need Howie Roseman has never, ever valued a running back. And I will say this, Jay Ajayi is still out there. I think we could bring him back. Jordan Howard is a name I've been telling you guys the last couple weeks. Jordan Howard has a relationship with our player personnel guy, Joe Douglas. He was in Chicago when we drafted Howard, when they drafted Howard. I could see, because I know he's on the trade market, I could see them getting Jordan Howard, drafting a running back, and that'll be fine. And the Eagles are, I think, right there with the Saints and the Rams. I really do feel that Carson Wentz is going to have a great year this year. For the first time since his rookie year going into his sophomore year, he's going to have a full training camp.
Oh, definitely.
That's huge.
It will be nice for Carson Wentz. He'll probably be fully healthy this season.
And I will tell you, him and DeSean Jackson are already working out.
Oh, that's good.
They are already throwing balls.
I remember I loved DeSean Jackson when McNabb was throwing them and Michael Vick as well. Because I remember in Madden, I would play as the Eagles sometimes. I had Madden 12, and I would play as like that. That dream team, Vince Young called them. It was a good team in Madden. It was a good team in Madden. I'm not going to lie. In real life, I'm sorry I'm hurting you, bro, but in Madden, that team was pretty good. In Madden. In real life, that was just disappointing.
Do you realize our defensive coordinator that year was an offensive line coach?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh my God.
I remember Eagles fans wanted Andy Reid fired after that season.
They chanted at a game, fire Andy. Fire. You know what? He wore out his welcome. That's why everybody loved Chip Kelly when he first came there, because he was new. We didn't want anything to do with Andy Reid. And then when Doug Peterson came in, everybody hated him because we still didn't love Andy Reid. Doug Peterson has proven to be the best decision Jeffrey Lurie has made, next to bringing back Howie Roseman. That's almost as big. You got them bringing back in Howie Roseman, who he still believed in. Them bringing in Doug Peterson and drafting Carson Wentz. Those three decisions saved this franchise from being, as Urinating Tree would call it, the next low cow of the NFL. And I'm serious. The Eagles were heading for a disaster if Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, and Howie Roseman didn't work out. But look how it's working out, man. Three straight years now of potentially being in contention for a Super Bowl. And I'll tell you, I've been on Madden the last couple days. I'm excited. And Aguilar now back in the slot. He's going to work really well in the slot. I'm excited. You got Ertz. You got Goddard. This is going to be fun. I can't wait. This is going to be fun.
Football season is going to be fun in 2019. It'll probably be a memorable season for both our teams. I mean, how we look at this Cleveland Browns team, I'm comparing them to your 2017 Super Bowl champions, Philadelphia Eagles. The swagger we got, the energy we have, the weapons we got on both offense and defense. this team is serious. They are ready to compete for a Super Bowl.
The only difference I see is, again, the locker room personalities. Well, the Eagles had strong guys that spoke out to the media. They didn't have off-the-field drama. It was more political.
Yeah, you know, with Malcolm Jenkins and all that.
But you know what? Our team, whatever political side they were on, they all put that aside, and they all stood together during the national anthem. It was a unified team. Will this Browns team be a unified team? Because I will tell you, that 2017 Philadelphia team, it didn't matter where you came from. It didn't matter your diversity, your skin color, your ethnicities, your political beliefs. Everybody on that team would literally die to save another member of that team. They loved each other to the bone.
I think this Browns team will be like that. You know, Odell is very close with Jarvis Landry. I've seen their college highlights. Man, they were good at LSU. And he's also close with Baker Mayfield as well. And I think Odell will get close with all the other guys on the team. And I think this team, they're all going to be brothers for life. I mean, they'll probably do anything for each other, help one up, you know, do whatever it can to win. I mean, this Browns team is going to be very special to this city.
Yeah, and I mean, guys, I'm fired up today. I think, Enzo, you're fired up.
I'm pretty fired up, too.
I will say this, and I'm going to admit this for the first time on this show. This semester, I was very weary on whether to actually do a show because I didn't know what there was going to be to talk about. And, you know, I didn't expect for this day in March, for the third week or whatever it is in March, for March 16th, for there to be this much news. This is incredible. And this was my point I made earlier about NFL free agency. In the NBA, you know, usually just the stars move. You know, like LeBron, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving.
Steph Curry, yeah, and all of them.
It's usually just stars, right, in free agency. Where in the NFL, you look at my chart here. Every single team has either lost somebody or gained somebody. There is movement everywhere, and that's what I love about it. To make it so crazy, that's what makes the NFL the best sport in the world. We're going to have 5 minutes left on my version of the show, and then we're going to switch to Kent Sports on your show.
Kent Sports and March Madness as well. Big talks on that as well as last night. I watched the end of the Duke UNC game. We'll probably get into that game a little bit with you know, Zion being back as well. So we'll get into that, but, you know, first, I think we need to sing a special song.
All right, let's do it. In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. Fight, Eagles, fight. Score a touchdown. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Hit them low, hit them high, and watch our Eagles fly. Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles! That was great. That was epic.
The Browns need a fight song, man, for this
we
team.
We don't
they
have
need
a fight
back
song.
A fight
no.
song back.
All we do is use Ohio State's fight song across the field, which I think that's just the fight song for the general state of Ohio, I think. But I think the Browns really need something. We got Here We Go, Brownies. Here we go.
Hoo, hoo.
And do you listen to the Ken Carmen and Anthony Lyman show on 92.3 The Fan?
No, I do not, unfortunately.
I mean, they do something pretty cool. Is Super Bowl, Super Browns, hell yeah. That's what they've been doing. It's been getting a lot of social media attention with them doing that on their show. But shout out to Ken Carmen and Anthony Lyman on 92.3 The Fan. That's a great show. Weekdays. Yeah, weekdays in the morning.
All right. Well, with that being said, guys, we're going to wrap up on my version of the show. You know, coming up next, pass the mic. I'm going to be on it at the top of the hour. And, you know, one of the things that I'm going to do and one of the things I know Enzo will do as well, and I said it earlier, I'm not afraid to hold Kent State accountable. They play terrible. You know, just because we represent Kent State, just because we represent Box Show Radio, I'm not going to say, you know, oh, well, you know, okay, you know, they tried hard. You know, no, we hold people accountable on this show. This is journalism. We ask the tough questions. We ask the questions that need to be answered. So I cannot wait. Next Saturday is technically the start of spring break here at Kent, but I will still be here, which means...
Same thing with me. I'll still have my show as well.
We will have a show next Saturday, and Enzo will as well, so you can tune in to hear us again, 10 to 2. This is perfect, man. We got 4 hours of sports, BSR, Saturdays. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, next week on the show, I'm going to bring on Cleveland aficionado Billy Bowman. I cannot wait to talk to him about the Indians, about the Browns, about the Cavs. And I'm also going to make my MLB predictions next year, or next week, excuse me. And we're going to write them down so I can go over it in the fall.
I'm definitely going to talk a lot of baseball on next week's show as well. I'm having Sheldon Oker, who used to be the beat reporter for the Akron Beacon Journal. He was recently inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame for journalism. He'll be on my show next week, you know, noon to two. I don't know what time he'll call in, but I'll give you more information of that on my Twitter, at Pass the Mic.
All right, yes, make sure you follow at Pass the Mic. Also follow at Johnny Enzo, too, correct?
Yeah, that's my personal.
All right, and also follow me personal at BrandonLewis_7 and at Real_BWorld for the show. And so I thank you for joining us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait. Next week, we're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk March Madness, and we're going to talk whatever else crazy NFL free agency. This is nuts. Guys, the draft is literally over a month away, and it feels like the draft doesn't even matter at this point.
No,
because Words is ready to jump in. We want football.
We want training camp. When's training camp? Not till like August or late July.
No, I mean, it starts about the last week in July, but we want football, and we want it badly.
Definitely, for sure.
All right, guys, thank you for joining. This is Brandon Lewis from Black Show Radio, sports coordinator and sports writer at BSR. I'll see you guys next Saturday, 10 to noon, BlackShowRadio.com. Make sure you stay on here, though, because I'm going to be on Enzo's show. Pass the mic, top of the hour.
Welcome to Pass the Mic Sports Talk, our special fake Paddy's Day special, along with Brandon's World as well. Brandon Lewis with us. I was just on his show not too long ago. We had a great fun talking NFL football.
Hey, man, I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun today.
Oh, definitely, for sure. We had a lot of fun in our first half hour. We got a little bit of your Irish music going on, and we got some Dropkick Murphys. So we got a little bit of that Irish theme.
Yeah, it's Fake Safe Paddy's Day. It's a lot of fun. I was driving by people, you know, running and stuff, going into the studio today. A lot of people were out. I was talking to Quinn Griffin earlier via phone call. He was loving the St. Paddy's Day festivities. So just a great time here in Canada.
Yeah, I'll be doing those later as well. But we got pretty much good stuff to talk about as well. So we are going to go right into it as we're going to start talking about the MAC tournament, which I was fortunately able to attend. Unfortunately, you, Brandon, you weren't able to.
No, unfortunately.
If only Kent won on Thursday, you would be there Friday.
Correct, yeah. And you know, I was listening to you guys, you know, Enzo, Sean, Dylan, Alex,
and
you
Q.
Know, and Q, all you guys did a fantastic job. I'm being honest here. It was one of the best radio called games I've ever listened to. You guys were great. You described the action perfectly. I'm so proud of each and every one of you, you know, being a sports coordinator here at BSR, able to watch you guys grow, because a lot of you guys are either the same age as I or a little bit younger. You know, you guys haven't been a part of the station as long as I have. So I'm just so proud, you know, watch BSR grow, and it's just a great feeling. But yeah, Kent, though, overall, man, I was not happy with them.
Not happy is all. We wish you were with us as well. I mean, the game, they kind of were like, in the beginning, Central Michigan jumped out early on them, and then Kent would come back, be up maybe 1 or 2 points, and then, you know, Central Michigan would come back. It was just not a great performance, especially with, you know, senior Jalen Walker graduating this year. That's not going to be good.
No, but, and again, we know some stuff with Jalen that we're kind of not allowed to say on air. We have swords that kind of know what happened with Jalen.
Yeah, when he was out the Akron game.
But at the end of the day, right, he's your best player. And as I said on my show, you know, just because we're here at Kent State, just because we host this show on Wexel Radio, doesn't mean we have to say, oh, Kent, you know, they tried our. No, we can hold them accountable.
Oh, you guys only made it to what? Just the second round of the match?
Yeah.
That is not that
no,
impressive.
It's not good.
That was disappointing season, how it ended as well. I mean, I think we'll still be good next season as well. Antonio Williams will still be around. He's pretty good. CJ Williamson as well, as long as Phillip Willington, that guy balled out this season. He had 21 points against
Central
Michigan.
Phillip Willington is good. I think he's a legit NBA prospect. I really like his game. Now, just the rest of the guys, they didn't show up. I mean, Walker, we're talking about our best player. 2 for 16 from the field. Yes, he scored 14 points. You can look at that. Oh, yeah. No, 2 of 16 from the field. That's like, if you even reduce that by 2, that means he went 1 for 8, which is like 8%. You know, from the field, over 4 from 3-point range. Just ridiculous. Kent State, as Q was saying earlier on my show, they were acting like the Houston Rockets, trying to pull up from 3 and just not hitting them. And it was a bad performance against a team I thought they were better than, really.
They did lose to Central Michigan early in the season, but Kent was 9 for 35 from 3 against Central Michigan. That means they shot 25% from 3.
Right,
Thursday.
But here was my point. Yes, Central Michigan was a 5 seed and Kent State was a 4, so yes, it's a tough matchup. But overall, if you look at it, to me, Kent was a lot better on paper than Central Michigan. Kent had the better team, and they didn't play well, bottom line, and they should have won.
The biggest problem for this Kent State team is definitely rebounding. I mean, Phillip Willington, he's been having the most rebounds out of anyone on the team. He had 14 rebounds against Central Michigan.
Well,
as well.
They
and the other
four
one was
guards.
Yeah, and the other one was Jalen Walker. Man, we really do not have a lot of guys who are like 6'8", 6'9", even close to 7 foot as well. That's the biggest problem. That's why we got destroyed by Buffalo in both games, even though the first time we played Buffalo, we kept it close. But the second time we played, they just outplayed us because they got bigger guys and stuff. And this Buffalo team, they can go deep in the tourney, I think, as well.
Well, and I said a week ago on my show, I thought Kent State was better than Central Michigan. I knew that they were going to get blown out by Buffalo if they played Buffalo again. But here is my concern going into it. Kent State, very good home team. Away from the MAC Center, struggled.
I mean,
and that's what happened. They were away from the MAC Center, struggled.
And you know what? They were only 50 minutes away from the MAC Center, the Q to the Q. It's not a bad drive from Kent to Cleveland, to be honest. I've done it plenty of times. It's really not really a bad drive. You just take 480 all the way to 77, and boom, you're in downtown Cleveland.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just really disappointing for a Kent State team who, you know, I think this team was actually better than the team that made the NCAA tournament a couple years ago, talent-wise. And, you know, it's disappointing. I don't know how next year's team's going to be with Walker and Avery and a couple other guys leaving.
It's Walker, Avery, and Frederick that will be gone.
I feel like they're not going to be as good. I feel like this team had an opportunity. Granted, I didn't think that they were going to beat Buffalo, but I was just looking forward to going down there and getting to call a game at the Q, having the experience. Unfortunately, like I said, I had 2 exams. I could not get out of them, unfortunately, to go call the game, disappointingly. But it sounded like you guys had a great time. And again, just shout out to you guys for doing that. You guys had a great call of the game. And you guys held no punches. You know, you guys were even saying in the air how bad Kent State was. They're not playing transition defense. You know, in the second half, it felt like, you know, when Kent State had a miss, Central Michigan would just run down and get an easy layup. Disappointing, bad effort all around, and really frustrating.
Oh, it was definitely a frustrating game to watch for Kent State as well. I mean, the cool thing was when we were at the MAC tournament, after Kent lost, we kind of got to go to the areas of the queue where if we were like a fan, we usually wouldn't be allowed to go to. So we got to check out some of that stuff. I mean, I couldn't really post any pictures of that, but it was pretty cool as well seeing where like stuff is and that, and maybe getting pretty close to center court as well. That was pretty cool. So it was just a lot of fun to do it. I mean, we got our own media passes with our name on it. How cool is that?
Right. And, you know, that's just, you know, usually our access for the games aren't as great. You know, so I think, you know, being able to, you know, actually get that media pass and being able to have a good spot to call that game. And I mean, just the fact that, you know, you drove all the way down there, spent a whole day. I mean, you guys left at what, noon?
We left at, like, around 12:30. We just had enough time to be able to call the whole game of Kent and Central Michigan. And after that, you know, I think we got some free food, which is always nice. And then after a while, I think me and Alex were watching that amazing Florida State-Virginia Tech game. That game ended pretty epic with Florida State winning that game, like, almost at the buzzer beater with, like, 3.2 seconds left. They weren't even favored. I mean, now Florida State is playing up against Duke in the ACC championship game today. That will be a must-watch on ESPN for sure. And then we got just a lot of fun. Then we got the call Northern Illinois versus Toledo. Toledo was heavily favored in that one, and
yeah,
Northern Illinois
came
with the win. We were calling that one as well, even though that's not Kent State. Hey, we're at the queue.
Right,
why don't we just call games since, you know, we won't be there tomorrow.
Right.
So it was pretty fun. I mean, also, Dylan and Quinnen, they did, like, a little first time doing their, like, a little podcast show. Like, they were just bored and, like, let's just do one. They did one together. It's pretty entertaining to listen to those guys talk.
Yeah, and I mean, those guys are great. I'm Victory Formation along with Dante Santafonte every Monday, 4 to 6. Also, Mitch and Spinell every Friday from noon to 2. And then, you know, Wilcox and Rico every
Tuesday.
From 8 to 10. And then, you know, we got our show as well. So, you just a lot of packed BSR sports content. And, you know, unfortunately, though, at the end of the day, Kent State is going home and they're not playing tonight, which we weren't expecting. But I think I'm disappointed just because of the fact I expected them to beat Central Michigan, and it didn't happen. And really, they should have, and it quite frankly sucks.
It does suck. I mean, Kent, they just really, I don't know why they come with, like, this flat energy in the beginning of the games. Like, I don't think they were playing down to their opponent like they have in the past to, like, teams that were worse than them, but I just think they didn't have the energy in them. I mean, Walker was back in the lineup, and he didn't look like himself like how he has most of the season.
Do you think it was at all a distraction? To me, it shouldn't have been, because you knew Jaylen Walker was playing. Was it just a distraction to him, and then did it throw off the whole team? Is there something to that where, you know, Jaylen didn't know if he was going to play in this game?
That could have been a distraction to the team as well. I mean, the whole situation, which we really can't talk about, might have been a distraction as well. But it just, you know, just wasn't working out for them that game. I mean, they were just taking dumb shots, like, and too many threes.
And it's a wrong time to go cold.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was there calling the first Buffalo game.
That was a good game.
And
they played great up until, like, the last 2 minutes.
And I remember Kent had him on the ropes, and Kent played well. They, you know, what I always have found with Kent State this year was this. They were a one-half team. They were either a first-half team or a second-half team. They had a good record. But really, they never truly could play a complete basketball game, especially late in the year against conference teams. And that's what hurt Kent State. And, you know, unfortunately, this might have been their best shot. Because with these seniors leaving, next year's team may not be as good. I mean, we don't know.
Only player I know that's coming up is that one kid with who's autistic. It's like Caitlin Bennett.
It's not the Kent State Gun Girl. It's another Caitlin.
It's the one that we're going to like. It's not going to be that other one. Who knows? She's the poop girl now.
But yeah, so, I mean, he potentially, I think he's a good ball player. You know, not just because he has autism and all. You know, I don't make excuses for that. You know. Obviously, with me having a disability of my own, you know, I know for a fact, people with disabilities, we don't like for people to make excuses for us, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whatever it is. Just go out there and play ball. You know, he's going to go out there and say, you know, who cares if I have autism? Think of me like I don't. Treat me like an actual player. And so if he can produce, fine. But if he can't produce, I don't want him playing. I don't care what special treatment. I'm just going to throw this out there now. Oh, well, Brandon, that's wrong. No, it's not wrong to say. You're on a team to produce. If you're not producing, sit on the bench. I'm sorry.
That's definitely true. I mean, you got to produce, you got to play. Why do you think, like, you know, sometimes they sit out certain players? Well, it's because you're not playing that well, you're not doing that great. And so that's what I got to say on that. As tonight, Buffalo is, of course, in the championship game as they'll be taking on Bowling Green on ESPN2 at 7.
I expect Buffalo to win. Here's the thing. I think Buffalo to me is the best team in the MAC.
There definitely are, man. If you're ranked 18th in the nation in the AP poll, I definitely think, I mean, I want Bowling Green to win because Buffalo can still get in with an at-large bid.
See, this is the reason, though, why I don't want Bowling Green to get in. Is because, honestly, Bowling Green has a pretty good journalism program, just as good as Kent State. So, like, if you're looking at Kent State versus Bowling Green, you know, I think for us personally as journalists, it's like, well, Buffalo doesn't have the greatest journalism program. So, you know, when I was deciding to go to college, I was all in on Kent State. But if I didn't get into Kent, I think my backup plan would have been Bowling Green. So I think part of me is just like, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, no, don't let Bowling Green win. You know, let Buffalo just win it out and let Kent State still be superior when it comes to journalism. Excuse me.
That's true. I mean, I just want to see two MAC teams make the tournament. That's what I'm more focused on when it comes to these playing.
That's fair.
So it would be pretty cool because I don't think ever in history there's been two Mid-American Conference team in the NCAA tournament at the same time. You know, gets
that's
the
fair.
MAC out there saying, hey, we can be a pretty good conference for basketball.
But is that like saying, like, let's say, you know, in the NBA we don't have divisions. But that's like, you know, in baseball or football. If your team doesn't, like, let's say your team's, I don't know, let's say, like, the Tigers and the AL Central. Like, they're bad. They're not rooting for two AL Central teams to get into the playoffs. Is that kind of like that when it comes to, that's my philosophy. Is like, if Kent State didn't get in, I don't want to see any MAC team get in. I'm not rooting for conference. I'm rooting for the team.
All right. I get what you're saying right there, but I'm kind of rooting for conference because the Mid-American's not one of the bigger conferences in college sports.
No,
and I like
I
seeing these, like,
in
March Madness, I love seeing, like, these smaller schools be able to beat these big-time schools, like in the Big Ten, ACC,
Big East. Like Chicago last year with Sister Jean. Sister Jean was the biggest story in the history. Oh, God.
That was amazing.
This is why I find March Madness and everything about college basketball. Like, I find it hilarious. Because of these stories, like last year, what was it?
UMBC beat number one Virginia in the first round.
Like
that was history.
And I just love hearing, like, these folks who, like, don't care about basketball but, like, love March Madness. Well, you know, I got, like, old Chicago upsetting Duke or something, and then it happens.
Yeah,
or something. It's crazy and funny to talk about. Like, it's hilarious.
It's hilarious. I mean, doing brackets are the best. And, of course, pass the mic, we're having a bracket challenge this year with if you have, like, the most points in your bracket, you would win a pass the mic t-shirt. Those, we just got them in. I don't know when we're gonna start selling them, but it'll be soon, and then you'll also get a gift card to Canes as well, $15. So, pretty good deal you got right there. I want as much people to join the Bracket Challenge well, because, dude, no one just does one March Madness bracket. You usually do 2, 3, 4, 5.
In years past, I've only done one. I'm one of those people that are like, no, I got my one bracket. But I think with the expansion of technology over the last couple of years, I filled out last year probably about 10. this year I'm probably going to do more than that. Like, I just want to try to win some type of money, you know?
I mean, just some type. I mean, I think I'm going to do, I'm of course, do our bracket challenge with ESPN tournament challenge, and then I'll probably do one with Yahoo, then one with Bleacher Report, then one with the March Madness app. So
see, I do all 25 of mine, or however much you can do with ESPN. I just like staying on one site instead of flipping back and forth through different apps.
Each of them, they all got different prizes. But, right. You know, the odds of you winning is very low. I mean, it is actually like so rare to get a perfect bracket.
Has anybody in history ever gotten a perfect bracket?
I don't think so. I don't think anyone's ever got a perfect bracket in March Madness history. If someone ever gets one, that's going to be worth a lot of money.
It's going to be one heck of a story.
But I mean, in the past, I've got like the Final Four right, or the team that won the whole tournament right. Like that's
Me. In the past, and I've gotten that side of the bracket right. There's always going to be an upset, and the way I do it though, because again, I don't watch much college basketball. I do it mostly off school and seeding. So like, if I see Michigan versus Loyola Chicago, like, I'm picking Michigan, but like, Loyola Chicago could get the upset.
Yeah, I mean, there's always like that one team that screws my bracket every year. It's always Wisconsin for some reason. I usually doubt Wisconsin, and they just end up beating teams. I think one year I had Villanova. It was the year after they won they were the defending champions. I had Villanova beating Wisconsin. Wisconsin had to screw up my bracket and make it to the Final Four. I'm like, really? It's always Wisconsin. They're playing against Michigan State in the Big Ten semifinals in that tournament. I did watch Michigan State versus Ohio State yesterday. Ohio State was actually in the first half, but they had the same issue as Kent. They were not in the second half, but it's whatever. And last night watching the Duke versus UNC game, oh my gosh, that's the best rivalry in college basketball, let me tell you that right now. Zion Williamson, he's back. I think towards the end of the game, I think his groin, something was hurting on him, but he looked good. UNC was just going back and forth. I mean, Duke just has a lot of weapons, not just Zion. They got Cam Reddish and RJ Barrett as well. More than likely, those guys are going right to the NBA after the tournament's over.
You know, this is what I was thinking about. You know, everybody's talking about Zion, RJ Barrett. See, here's my take, and I was thinking about this. This is going to be like the 0-3 draft, but here's why. If we don't get Zion, as a Cavs fan, I'm going to be mad. To me, Zion is like your LeBron. RJ Barrett is like your Dwayne Wade. Now, who would you rather have? Zion Williamson, by far. Because in this day and age of the NBA, to me, if Dwayne Wade entered the NBA and it wasn't 2003, I don't think him and Shaq would have won that title in Miami. That's just me. So to me, Zion Williamson is by far and away the best player in the draft. So if you don't get Zion, yes, RJ Barrett's a franchise player, but he's not a championship player. You know, he can't lead a team to a championship by himself, where I believe Zion can.
That is true. That's why Zion's getting lots of comparisons to LeBron James as well, as being how athletic he is in college and literally just dominating the game. I mean, I really hope the Cavs get a top two picks in the drafts, in the lottery. Because I don't know. I would not be happy getting the number third pick. I would not.
Now, we brought this up on my show a couple times today. You heard the story that Jeannie Buss tried to trade LeBron at the trade deadline.
Oh, I heard that. Oh, are you crazy? You want to trade the greatest basketball player in this era? Why, just because your team stinks? That's because the Lakers roster is garbage. What I said on last show, I had that Stephen A. thing play. The Lakers stink. They're ridiculous to watch. I was kind of following the Lakers. I thought they had a chance, but no, they really don't. They blew it. Lonzo Ball is actually a key player on that team. You might have to listen to LeVar Ball more when he says Lonzo can help that team win, because when they were playing with Lonzo,
yeah,
they had a better record,
right, yeah,
and all that. I mean, and people are like, oh, it's just LeVar being crazy. No, LeVar was actually right for once on his Suns.
I know. And here's the thing I was talking about, right? Does Dan Gilbert call Magic or whoever is he making the deal at this point for the Lakers and say, you know what, I will give you Tristan Thompson, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, and my first-round picks for the next 2 years. Do you call them? Do you try to make an offer for LeBron? Because here's the other thing I found out, Enzo. This is, to me, the most interesting thing of it all. LeBron does not have a no-trade clause in his contract, which means They can literally trade him anywhere, and he doesn't have a say.
That is actually pretty hilarious that you said that, because, I mean, when it comes to a big-time superstar, they usually want to have a say. And like, where they're trading,
I was shocked when I heard
that. Kind of like how Antonio Brown did when the Steelers tried to trade him to the Bills, and, you know, Antonio had to go on Instagram and, like, say, this is fake news. I don't want to go to Buffalo, because then you guys wish to go to Oakland, and I think Oakland's going to be an absolute poop show for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, this to me is so interesting, because a year ago this time, we were talking about the Cavs being finals contenders, and we didn't think LeBron was going to leave. At least I didn't feel like he was going to leave a second time.
I was just a little iffy on if he was going to stay or leave. I wanted him to stay in the East. I thought it was just dumb of him to go out West, where you got too many good teams out there.
Yeah,
and you're not even the best. Dude, the Lakers are, like, not even going to make the playoffs.
No, and I was wrong, because, you know, and I said this on my show. I said, there are certain trends in life that we have to and cannot follow. You know, we don't have to, you know, say all these, what, fancy words or emojis that people do now. But in sports, like, if in the NBA, if you're a power forward and you can't shoot nowadays, you don't belong in the league. So there are trends you have to follow, and the Lakers, they, besides LeBron and maybe Josh Hart, Lonzo can't shoot a lick. Like, they don't have any shooting at all. And they're defenders. This is one of the reasons why I thought it might work, because they have a great defensive guys. They have Lance, they have Rondo, they have all these great defenders. They can't play defense for a lick.
No, they can't. I don't even think LeBron even tries on defense anymore. Did you see, I think it was some, it was Kyle, well, no, Kyle Kuzma had to push LeBron to guard someone shooting a three.
He tries when he wants to. There are some nights, because even last year against Boston, you remember Boston, there are some nights where he will stand underneath the rim, but there are nights where he will try on defense when he knows he has to. There are other nights where he doesn't because he knows he has to insert on the offensive end. Here's the thing. If you're the Lakers, in my opinion, this offseason, you have to make a decision. Are we going all in with LeBron? Are we trying to win a championship? Or are we starting over? You have to make that decision. Because right now, the only trade piece they have is LeBron. Because of Ingram's blood clot, he's not a trade piece. Because of Lonzo and LeVar, Lonzo is no longer a trade piece. Their only other trade piece they can have is Kyle Kuzma. Nobody's going to want Kyle Kuzma. So you either are going to go, okay, we're going to try to get either Kyrie or AD or whoever and pair him up with LeBron, or you're going to go, we're trading LeBron, starting over.
I mean, that would be just really funny if the Lakers actually do trade LeBron. I think LeBron, during the playoffs, where he'll be on an unusual place, his couch, either in L.A. or he might be home in Akron, he'll probably just scout out these players that are going to be free agents in the summer, and, you know, try to make him join the Lakers. I don't think Kevin Durant will go out there. I can see Kyrie there. That would definitely hurt my heart, seeing Kyrie and LeBron in a Lakers uniform, because, you know, they're with us in Cleveland, and, man, we could have had more than one championship if Kevin Durant did not go to the Lakers. He could go to the Warriors, I mean, and if Kyrie and Kevin Love were not hurt in 2015 as well, I think the Cavs would have had more than one championship in that era.
Yeah, unfortunately. And now, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this, because, again, last year, if you would have told me at this time, LeBron would have left Cleveland, and now there's even just a 1% potential of him coming back, I would have thought you were crazy. But at this point, what's your option if you're the Lakers? What is the better option for your team, to tank and start over? It might be. It actually might be.
The Lakers tanking? I thought they were tanking ever since Kobe Bryant retired. I thought they were just trying to rebuild, but I have no idea what the Lakers front office is doing. I thought the Lakers are just better organized than the Cavs, because we all know the history of
Dan
Gilbert.
That's what I
thought
too, and it turns out, that we were both wrong. And I said this before. I said, I don't know if when Magic came over to LeBron's house, if he gave LeBron marijuana or something, because I don't know how LeBron could sign on and approve of this. this is more of a disaster than whatever was in Cleveland. And I've said a lot of bad things about Dan Gilbert on this show.
Oh, same with me. Dan Gilbert is probably one of the least liked owners in Cleveland.
And somehow he's a better owner than Jeannie Buss.
Somehow he's better than the owner than the Buss family. It's crazy that we're saying that right now on my show. But apparently he is. I mean, yeah, as much as Dan Gilbert has an ego about the size of LeBron as well, and that's why they couldn't get along in Cleveland. So it's whatever. I don't know what the Lakers are going to do. I think they need to get players, and I honestly don't. I still don't understand LeBron's decision to be in LA. As I know you were saying that it was a good decision, I was saying it was bad. Because you're saying, I don't think LeBron's ever going to catch up to Michael Jordan when it comes to any category, when especially championships. I don't see him winning another one the rest of his career. Honestly, don't.
See, but here's my thing. This is why I believe LeBron is already better than Michael Jordan. I'm not looking at championships. I'm looking at eras, and I'm also looking at overall stats. I think LeBron overall could do more things than what Michael couldn't do. Do you really think Michael Jordan could carry a team like Jeff Green, Jordan Clarkson to the finals? No.
I don't know. He needed Scottie Pippen to get past the Pistons.
No, I don't see how Michael, you know, and I don't think Michael could play in this era. You know, Michael wasn't a three-point shooter. I think it's more likely LeBron could have played in that era. I get LeBron complains about a lot of fouls, but that's because of the expectation of this era. Michael didn't shoot a lot, even though the three-point line was in the league during his era. Michael was mostly a scorer. Michael didn't have to pass. Michael didn't have to assist. And Michael didn't have to rebound, which is why he could play defense. LeBron has to score, assist, rebound, block. And at age 34, he's played a lot more than Michael has, and it's taken a toll on him.
Yeah, I think overall, I would take LeBron over MJ. But when it comes to certain categories, I might have to take Michael Jordan, especially on offense.
I agree.
I would take Michael Jordan a better offensive player than LeBron.
I don't know about offense. I agree when it comes to shooting.
Shooting,
but,
definitely.
But
I,
overall offense, I think I'm taking LeBron.
I think LeBron's just a better passer than MJ.
But I think that's what separates them, is because LeBron is the best scorer underneath the rim. Anybody ever, he's better than Michael at attacking the basket. That's the way LeBron can do things. So, you know, I think LeBron just, I actually think he's a better overall player than Michael was, and I just think he's wearing down because of all the minutes he's played, because of all the finals, straight finals, because of all this. It's taking its own on him, and I just think maybe he went to L.A. to kind of relax. Is it possible that he went to L.A. to just, like, I think what he realized is this. People like us say he's better than Jordan. People like Skip Bayless say he'll never be better than Jordan, so he can't win. So he's just going to sit back and go.
Well, that's California for you. California is, like, way more laid back than it is out here in the Midwest and even out east as well on the East Coast, so completely different environment where he is right now. I mean, you know, life's kind of like in the fast lane, or kind of like you take more time to relax out there than you would in, like, where we live.
Yeah, and I mean, it just sucks because, you know, just watching a team go from championship contender to not championship contender. And, you know, there are people saying, oh, I wouldn't take LeBron back now because I want to get younger and I want to start the rebuild. This is just me. I don't care about getting younger. I care about winning championships. If I can find a way to get LeBron back, I am getting him back.
Oh, I would get LeBron back in a heartbeat. He means so much to this area, is what he's done, especially in Akron with his school, and then what he means to the city and the community. People love him in Cleveland. In L.A., a lot of people are hanging him. Like, oh, we want Kobe back. Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, Shaq. They want that era back.
That's the
difference. That's the problem with L.A. Most of their fans are bandwagoners. Look at them. Most of them are Warriors fans right now.
And that's the difference, because even, let's say this Lakers team was in Cleveland. We wouldn't be as mad because we still would have our home prodigy son still playing for us, I feel like.
Yes.
So that's the difference to me is, well, you know, Lakers fans are criticizing him and acting like it's the worst thing ever. It wouldn't be like that here because he would still be here. That's his town.
This is his town. I mean, it's also a Browns town as well, as we mentioned earlier on your show as well, but you know, we get behind our backs on our teams and stuff. It's not like how it is on the West Coast. They are more likely to bandwagon any good team. Like, what was it, like 10 years ago, was anyone a Warriors fan? No, they were Laker fans. Now, look at it, 10 years later, they're Warriors fans.
Well, and Warriors fans haven't even shown up this year. Because they're taking the regular season for granted. And that's a problem because here's the thing we never did in Cleveland because we knew how hard it was. Yes, we took the East for granted, but I never took the regular season for granted because I wanted to watch the process. That last year LeBron was here, I watched all 82 games. I watched the greatness that is that man every single night, and I said he's the best player ever. After watching him for all of that, he never missed a game. After what he did, after being down 3-2 against Boston, without Kevin Love, bring Jeff Green to the finals, and then that game one performance against Golden State wrapped it up for me. That's it. He's the GOAT.
I considered him the GOAT after he came back 3-1 against that Warriors team that went 73-9. I thought that was the greatest moment of his career. Brought a championship to Cleveland, was 3-1 deficit. No other NBA team came back from that. But
And I would argue it was harder to make it to the finals last year than it was to come back down 3-1. That was maybe the greatest accomplishment of his career, was bring that Cavs team full of low-life bums to the finals.
I mean, I think that team was just as bad as the 07 team, but I think the team from last year would definitely beat the 07 team because LeBron was like 23, 22 when he led that team.
Right, but this team was a lot older.
Yeah, this team was a lot older in age, and then you had a couple young guys that we got from in that trades we did, like Larry Nance, Jordan Clarkson, and Rodney Hood as well.
Well, and here's the thing that I mentioned about. In the NBA, it's different than the NFL, because when the Cavs started this year, all those guys were still on the team, where the NFL, there's a lot more movement, you know?
That is true. As Brandon, I would like to thank you on for coming on my show. It was a great special show we did, combining our shows for like a good hour.
Man, this was great. This was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun talking basketball, football with you. As I mentioned earlier on my show next week, I'm going to go over my MLB predictions. I'm going to go over all the divisions, my World Series pick, and all that. But yeah, Enzo, thank you. You do a great job on your show, Pass the Mic, and it was a lot of fun today.
All right, thanks, Brandon. Have fun out. If you're going out, have fun. If you're not, that's okay. Don't have a problem with that. As next on Pass the Mic, we're going to have people call in if you want to talk Odell, NCAA tournament, or whatever. The number is for Black Squirrel Radio's hotline, 330-672-7701. Make sure you call in at around 1240, as we'll be going to a break right now. So stick around to blacksquirrelradio.com.